Welcome into the BT Powerhouse Podcast. My name is Thomas Bendit. As always, I am the host of said podcast. It is Wednesday, September 7th, and it's officially preview season. it's odd. You know, the fall, you have football season come around, which started last week for the Big Ten and the vast majority of college teams. It's always exciting, you know, to see things get going on the gridiron, but conveniently right around the same time is when all the preview action starts getting rolling for college basketball. We here at BT Powerhouse, no different. And, you know, we're rolling into our Big Ten coverage. So every year, I believe this is the third year we've done this now. We will do a podcast on every single Big Ten team and then usually a conclusion, you know, big overall viewpoint type of stuff for the conference, college basketball, that kind of stuff. I believe last year we had SB Nation's League college basketball right around, so hopefully we can get something similar again this year. That was a lot of fun, but right now, right in the thick of things for Big Ten, and we're starting it off. What I have typically done is sort of a reverse order of how things went last year with the quote-unquote worst team first and the quote-unquote best team last. So we are starting with Rutgers here today. That will get mixed reactions from some, I'm sure. But it's the first one of our 14 podcasts here, and I personally am really excited to get it going. And to help us break down Rutgers, we have Dave White from SB Nation's On the Banks, which is SB Nation's Rutgers site. Dave, how's it going?
It's going well, although I don't like the way you said mixed reactions. Come on, Rutgers is fun. But I'm ready to start talking college hoops.
Yeah, definitely. I was just talking about that. You know, it's kind of odd where, you know, I'm so excited for football season gets here, and then a week or two later, it's previewing for college basketball. So it's a quick transition, but, you know, always fun to chat college basketball, and I'm excited for Rutgers, I will say. I think things are headed on a fun direction, I should say, right now. Let's jump into here a little bit. Generally, we go through kind of, you know, front to back, the whole roster. We've had you here, I want to say, the last 2 years now, breaking down Rutgers.
I think this is my third year, and I think this year I finally know something about the Big Ten other than Rutgers, so.
Yeah. So it's getting better each year. We'll just be adding on to this year. So why don't we start with the big picture stuff here? Just what are general feelings coming in this year? Obviously, you know, we'll get a little bit into last year here in a little bit. That may not be exciting to hear about. But you know, what's just the general feeling about Rutgers and the program and where things are right now?
I think right now it's really just it's a breath of fresh air. I mean, I know I came on the past 2 years like super optimistic, but a lot of that was kind of an act. But now it kind of feels like Steve Peichel's the new head coach, and he seems to know how to run a basketball program, you know, a college basketball program. They're out, they're recruiting. He's filled the roster as much as he can. It's not a perfect roster yet, but he's added pieces. They're not playing, you know, 7-8 guys. They're gonna be 12 deep. And I think there's optimism that basketball will be fun again, you know? Nobody's expecting the NCAA tournament or even the NIT, but I think they're gonna look like they belong, meaning that I don't think they're gonna be a walkover. I think they're gonna be one of those teams that they're going to lose a lot, but they're going to be a pain in the butt to everybody because they're going to finally defend. They're going to rebound. And, you know, those are apparently Steve Peichel's calling cards. That's what he keeps saying. I don't think they can score enough this year, but I really think there's going to be some dogfights. And, you know, maybe they'll upset somebody. Everybody always gets one upset, you know, so except for last year's team. But, you know, almost everybody gets one upset. So I think there's going to be some signs. I think they're going to pass the eye test, and I think there's going to be signs of optimism for the future. What that translates into wins, I wrote an article about this yesterday. You know, I really think you got to take the long view. I think you've got to be looking at – they won 7 total games last year. If Pikel can get them to win 12 total games, that's an improvement. That's a 5-game improvement. You know, so I think I think there's optimism for the future, but I think this is a long process, and I think it's almost a harder process than Chris Ash has building the football program up, just because Rutgers basketball hasn't been over 500 since 2006, in 10 years. They haven't made the NCAA tournament since 1991. You know, they haven't won an NCAA tournament game since 1983. So there's a lot of baggage that Pikel has to battle, and they finally hired a real staff with Carl Hobbs and Brandon Knight and Jay Young. They're moving towards building a practice facility. So things are headed in the right direction, and it looks like Rutgers Athletics finally cares about basketball, which if you've read my articles the past 3 years, I don't think they cared about basketball for a while. But I think if you're a basketball fan, there's some cautious optimism. That's the best way to put it. Big picture, there's some cautious optimism. Corey Sanders is back. He was exciting to watch last year. So that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously, I'm not as close to the heartbeat as you are. That's why I like to have you on here. But, you know, I started writing my previews, which hopefully will debut here in a couple weeks. But I called it a proverbial smack to the head, the hiring of Pico last spring. I think it's just the whole program just seems different. You know, last year it was, just kind of going through the motions because, you know, as much as everyone was going to talk about it, everyone knew it was going to be a bad team. Everyone knew it really probably wasn't headed in the right direction deep down. But right now, you know, everything they're doing, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like it's easy or the team is, you know, outstanding at this point, but it at least seems like it's heading in the right direction. I know that's how it always seems with a new coach, but it really seems tangible with Pico, at least from the outside perspective, I should say.
I think one of the interesting things, if I can jump in here, is I actually said to somebody today that he and Brandon Knight are visiting two high schools on Friday to recruit. They're chasing after a point guard, Jose Alvarado, and one of the top centers in 2018 in Naz Reid. And they're going to the high school to visit. And I said to somebody, I said, I don't remember Eddie ever visiting a high school, like on a random Friday. I said, Pikel is doing the bare minimum recruiting-wise until he lands like a big fish. And it's got me in awe. You know, it's kind of silly. Like, this is what he's supposed to be doing, and I'm awed by it, you know, after the past 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later, you know, once we get through some of the team stuff, but I definitely like the idea of how their strategy for building. I know we've talked about it on past podcasts, but I like the homegrown approach, so to speak, for this program.
Yeah.
But with that, why don't we get through the tough stuff first? We always start with a look at last year. You know, simply put, we always start this way. So let's just get through it.
I got
so
the anxiety already.
Last year, not exactly the greatest. Put it in perspective, you know, Rutgers goes 7-25 overall, 1-17 in the Big Ten, knocked out of the first round of the Big Ten tournament. Obviously, no postseason. They come in at number 291st or 291 on KenPom. I'm looking for the stat I had. Okay, here's my interesting stat. You will not appreciate this, so you may want to cover your ears and, you know, scream or something.
I'm sure I know it already.
So in 19 games against top 100 KenPom teams, Rutgers only avoided a double-digit loss once. So essentially, in 19 tries against competent opponents, 18 of them were quote-unquote blowouts, with the lone exception, a 79-72 loss to Indiana. To start off conference play. So, simply put, a rough year. Dave, you have any final reactions on last year, or should we just, you know, bury it and never talk about it?
Well, I will say that last year was a year where everything went wrong. Not only were they poorly coached, not only were they not deep, but then they suffered. They were playing a guard at power forward. They suffered. Their three top big men got hurt, out for the year. Basically, Corey Sanders got suspended for 4 games. Like, everything that could go wrong went wrong. I have never seen A, such bad basketball, and B, everything go wrong. I mean, even if
yeah.
they're completely healthy, I'm thinking you're looking at two, maybe three Big Ten wins, but it was just, like, torture. Like, if I was in witness protection, I would have given up my identity after watching that. It was so bad.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I hate to keep beating a dead horse, so I'm only going to do it a little bit further. But
you're enjoying this. You're enjoying this a little bit.
It is a little bit, just because, you know, not to be offensive, but the amount of suck was very impressive on this team. I mean, this is...
I know.
It, like, statistically speaking, you know, for our listeners who maybe weren't as in tune with the day-to-day of this team last year, this is, very realistically speaking, one of the worst Power 5 teams in recent memory. I don't know if I'd say ever, just because it's hard to statistically gauge the early years of college basketball, but certainly in the modern era,
mm-hmm.
One of the worst Power 5 teams out there. But I'll end with that. One last thing on last year. What were some positives that you would have taken away from last year as we move into this season?
They fired Eddie Jordan.
All right. Fair enough.
I mean, Corey Sanders was fun to watch. There was that fun triple overtime loss to Illinois. I mean, it was rough. It was rough. There was not much positive.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's just move into this year. off-season exits. Rutgers, they, in my preview, which, again, I'm not going to just talk about my preview, but what I said, it's an interesting dilemma because statistically – the team is actually losing a lot in terms of senior contributions, a couple transfers, but it's also, you know, you're losing a lot of contributions from a really bad team. So you kind of
right.
do wonder how much are you losing? So what is Rutgers losing exactly this year? Who do you think is going to be the toughest to replace? And how do you anticipate the team dealing with the offseason losses this year?
Geez, I have no idea. I mean, they lost Greg Lewis, who was – their senior leader who played his heart out, but he was battled by injuries and bad knees. Apparently he couldn't even walk upstairs at times. So he's going to, there's no senior on this team. There are a couple redshirt juniors, but there's no senior on this team. So they're losing the leadership. You know, somebody has to step up and be a leader. That's going to be the hardest thing to figure out. That said, you don't, I mean, who the Justin Good transferred, who was a freshman shooter who didn't play much, and Foreman transferred to St. Louis. And it's always good to have an extra big body, but they filled that in with Candido Sa, who's a junior college power forward, and they brought in a seven-footer in C.J. Geddes out of UNC, who's a graduate transfer. So I guess he's a senior. Sorry, I forgot about him. They just landed him. So there's it's tough to gauge. When you only win seven games, what else can you lose? You know what I mean? Like, there's nowhere to go but up. So the losses this time don't feel like, you know, if it was a 15-win team with five Big Ten wins, that would have been something. But you can't even gauge it. This team was so bad last year. How can you gauge what you lost?
I'm in complete agreement. I mean, you know, like I said, statistically speaking, you know, Rutgers is losing a lot of minutes. You know, they're losing guys like Greer. They're losing guys like Lewis, as you mentioned.
Oh, I forgot about Greer.
Yeah, Foreman, you know, I believe he led the team in rebounds. So from a statistical perspective, a lot of losses. But again, you know, a seven-win team, it's hard to gauge how deep those losses go. But but with that, let's talk about the flip side. Rutgers is bringing in, I want to say, five guys this year. Six. Four new recruits, two transfers. And one of the transfers, I should add, is technically was added last year in Nigel Johnson, but he is
right.
eligible this year. So I'm kind of viewing him as adding this year. What do you expect out of those? Which guys do you think will make the biggest impact? And can anyone start out of the recruiting class or the two transfers?
I think Nigel Johnson is going to start at shooting guard. I think the backcourt will be Corey Sanders and Nigel Johnson. They're similar players, and I think Nigel will, there's no real backup point guard on this team, so I'm sure Nigel will shift over to the one at times to give Corey a breather, but I think Nigel will definitely start. I think he's got the biggest upside. I think he can defend at Kansas State. I think he can play off when he was at Kansas State, he defended. I think he can play off Corey Sanders real well. I think here's my surprise pick. I think Candido Sa will start over Deshaun Freeman, who was supposed to be the big get for Eddie Jordan last year before he got hurt. Freeman was supposed to be a big scorer, and he was showing that early on, and then he hurt his knee. I am going to call Sa starting over Freeman as my big stunning pick. I don't know why, just a gut instinct, but I just have a weird feeling about that. So I think you've got, you know, you're going to go with probably Corey Sanders, Nigel, Jonathan Laurent at wing, who's a return sophomore who played well at times, and Shaq Dorson at center, and Candido Sa. So it's kind of a new roster. In a way, in a new starting five, there's going to be a lot of growing pains. But that's what I think.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess to start off with, you know, this probably shouldn't come as, you know, a surprising note or anything. Recruiting class, not super heralded. You know, two of the guys are unrated, you know, at least according to 247. The other two guys are three-star recruits. Probably not expecting a ton out of these guys. You know, frankly, you know, this is a transition recruiting class, a couple late additions. You know, if Pico can end up getting even two guys to seriously contribute, it would be a major, major score for him and Rutgers. As you mentioned, I think Sa has a good shot at contributing. Bullock is another guy I'm interested to watch. I think he could get in there and contribute off the bench. But as far as the transfers, I think those are obviously the big additions to this team this year. You know, Johnson, one interesting thing about Johnson is during his time at Kansas State, he did switch. He played both guard roles in the backcourt, and he was a pretty solid passer. It wouldn't shock me too much if he, you know, takes the primary minutes at the two and also serves as that backup to Corey Sanders. I think that would be a big boost for Sanders, who I think, you know, for a freshman kind of got leaned on a little bit too much last year.
When you only got five guys.
I mean, it's totally reasonable why. But I think that'll take a little pressure off him, and I think Geddes has a solid shot at starting. We'll see if he can do that. You know, he put up pretty solid numbers at UNC Wilmington. Limited playing time, but, you know, at least statistically speaking, you know, he had 111 offensive rating, which would have been the highest on Rutgers had he had those same numbers on Rutgers' roster.
Big Ten's a little different than the UNC Wilmington league.
Fair enough.
I mean, I think it's interesting that what Pikiell did this offseason was he turned a weakness of Rutgers' interior game into the biggest front court in the Big Ten. I don't know how much there is talent-wise, but they're the biggest. Aaron Brightman, who also writes for SB Nation, is our editor-in-chief dude. He did the research and wrote a whole article about how Rutgers went from being small with playing a guard at power forward to having the biggest front court in the Big Ten. So it should be interesting there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how, you know, as you mentioned, it's a totally fair, you know, question or flat red flag whether Geddes can put even close to the same numbers up at Rutgers. But, you know, I think he's going to play a lot for sure. I think he's good enough to grab the starting job there up front, but, you know, we'll see. Either way, he'll certainly be rotating a lot. But I think it's a solid group, certainly a great, great group considering the circumstances and that this is a, you know, a transition class from a really tough season. But, you know, there are a couple of guys here that should be interesting. But
yeah, I think one guy neither of us mentioned who's going to be interesting is a wing they picked up in August. Eugene Omorui, I think is how you say his name, out of Canada. Apparently, Pikel was doing a thing during the football game this year on campus, and one of our writers ran into him and tweeted that Pikel said that if Eugene had been eligible in the spring, I guess he had to take SATs or something like that, that he would have been able to play anywhere in the country. So he's somebody to watch out for.
Yeah. That'll be, he certainly put up big numbers, you know, as a prep guy. We'll see how easily he can translate to this level. But if he can even be a bench guy, you know, that's a great land for August.
Yes.
So let's move into some, you know, actual, this team on the court. This may be a little bit of a tough topic, but regardless, some of the strengths and weaknesses, you got into that earlier. What are a couple strengths you see on this team? And conversely, what are a couple, you know, red flags and areas that you think this team is going to struggle in this year?
I think they're athletic. I think that's a strength. I think they have the build as athletes to be able to defend. They didn't defend much under Eddie, but I think Pikel's going to teach them how to defend. I think they're going to be a decent defensive team this year. And they're big, so if they box out correctly, they should be able to rebound. I think a weakness is shooting. I'm not sure how much shooting they have. Mike Williams can shoot it. Corey Sanders can shoot it when left open. But beyond that, I'm not sure how much shooting they have. And I think depth at guard is going to be a problem, because they really have only three true guards on the team, not counting walk-ons. So I think those are your two strengths, two weaknesses. I think they're really going to have to grind and try to get easy baskets, which in college basketball, if you can't shoot the three, you're not going to win. So I think I think that's where you're going to be. I think they're going to be a pain in the neck, but I don't think they're going to win a lot.
Yeah, I for me, you know, I tried not to focus on, you know, stuff I think Rutgers is going to do exceptionally well, but more of spots I think they're going to be better at. For me, I think one thing that they could quietly be pretty good at, I mentioned it a little bit, my thinking with Johnson, but I think they could actually end up being a pretty good possession team, meaning they don't turn over the ball a lot, and they get a decent amount of steals. Sanders was a pretty solid passer last year, and as I mentioned, Johnson, I think, was a real solid passer in his time at Kansas State. So I think that's an area where if those two guys are taking, you know, 80% of the minutes in the backcourt, if not more, that Rutgers could, you know, maximize some possessions. Maybe they'll slow it down a little bit to try to use that to their advantage. We'll have to see.
I think that would be smart. Last year they had the fastest tempo. They played games with six guys, and they still pushed the tempo, had the fastest tempo in the Big Ten. You're not going to win that way when you can't score. So I think they're going to have to slow it down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'd do that, you know, if I were them. And then the other thing, you know, you mentioned it, you know, inside and on the boards. I know the loss of Foreman is going to be significant. You know, I mentioned I believe he was the team's leading rebounder last year. But, you know, you have Laurent back, who was a pretty solid rebounder. Geddes, again, limited time, smaller league, but he was a pretty good defensive rebounder at UNC Wilmington. And I think, you know, one of the bigger things, I think the team's interior scoring could take a big step forward if Sanders can get to the line better and he can get inside and finish better. If he can do that, I think that would help tremendously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are the areas that popped out to me. On the weakness side, I agree. I think outside shooting is a huge red flag. You know, it was an area they struggled a ton in last year, and to lose Greer, who is arguably the team's best shooter, is a big blow, at least on paper, in that area.
If they could have found one more shooter, they would have been in really great shape. The perfect candidate would have been A grad transfer who just left Hartford and went to Western Kentucky, Pancake Thomas. If they could have gotten in with him and added him, which I don't even know if there was any connection there, it would have been the perfect fit, and I would be way more optimistic in a turnaround.
Yeah, I would have been just excited to cover a guy named Pancake. But,
well, yeah, you know. he can really stack up those points.
moving in our next little subsection here. I feel like this is a very easy one for Rutgers, but top player. Who do you expect to be the guy for Rutgers this year? I assume you have a pretty easy choice. So who do you think else could kind of contend for that role as the top guy for the Scarlet Knights this year?
Well, I think Corey is clearly your top guy. He's got a goal to be in the NCAAs. To play in the NBA, not the NCAAs. So he's really going to try and take over this year. I think guys who can challenge are Nigel Johnson, and I'm curious how Deshaun Freeman reacts this year. Like I said, I have a feeling Saw might start, but Freeman was supposed to be the man last year, the top scorer, you know, kind of take over for Kadeem Jack. So it'll be real interesting to watch him play and if he kind of gets nudged a little by Saw, or if I'm way off and Freeman is the starter. So I think those three guys are the guys you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much on the same page. I think Sanders is your clear and easy choice. Outside of that, you know, the two transfers, you know, see how they fit in. And, you know, a wild card could be Laurent. He did decent in, you know, certain stretches last year. So who knows, you know, maybe he takes a huge step forward. But I think it's an easy answer. Corey Sanders is going to be the guy to watch for Rutgers next year. But jumping into the schedule here, let's start with the non-conference. Kind of a very Jekyll Hyde type of schedule here. A couple major matchups, and then a whole bunch of nothing.
It's a cupcake schedule. I think they had to schedule that way just to get these kids to learn how to win. The major conference things were required. You know, at Miami is Big East. ACC Big Ten Challenge. Seton Hall, they have a contract for 8 years. You know, they're at Seton Hall. And they had to play at Stony Brook as part of Pikel's buyout. So that's an interesting one.
Interesting. Yeah, little side note. I'm in total agreement. You know, for the fans, this probably isn't going to be – well, maybe it will be an exciting one. Get some
It'll be nice to go home after wins.
Yeah. I think, it's a schedule. And the interesting thing, too, is they don't really play anyone of note at home at all during non-conference play. They're all on the road or on neutral courts. But like you said, this is something you just have to do if you're Rutgers. I mean, you can't afford to try to schedule a really challenging slate and end up with, you know, two or three wins in non-conference play or something. It's not something you can do. So I think it's a good schedule, and, you know, who knows, maybe they can steal one of those games at Stony Brook or something. You know, Pico obviously has some inside intel, so who knows? Maybe they can steal one of those. Moving into Big Ten play, though, this thing looks like a buzzsaw, and it starts off with just a brutal slate. You know, three of the first four games are on the road at Wisconsin, Iowa, and MSU. Your reactions to Big Ten play, do you think – There's a risk that they kind of get too beat up in the first couple weeks here and slack at the end, or do you think this is just kind of the nature of the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, of course it's a buzzsaw. They were the worst team in the country last year, and they could be playing anybody, and it looks like a buzzsaw. they're going to take their licks. I think everybody is prepared for that. But the good thing is they have the lower level Big Ten teams, the Penn States, the Illinois, the Minnesotas, they have them at home. There's opportunity to win some games. Three or four are on the road, but you're not expecting wins. You're hoping they stay in it. You're hoping, you know, like, that's the kind of year this is. If this was hey, we were on the bubble last year, maybe we could take a leap, you know, that sort of thing, and then this is the schedule, yeah, I'd be annoyed. But right now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
you just want to see them play well. You know, you want to see him surprise somebody. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I agree. I think the only thing that would worry me a little bit, if I was a Rutgers fan here, is just, you know, how much of a mental hit that could take. I mean, just, you know, if you look through the first half here, I mean, the only games that are really, you know, close, they get Penn State at home, they get Northwestern at home, Nebraska at home. But other than that, all of them look like really, really tough games. But the latter section, the last six games or so, I think is actually pretty manageable. And that's Minnesota at home. They get back-to-back road games at Purdue and Northwestern. But, I mean, Northwestern really isn't a road game for the most part. Then they get Michigan, Maryland, and Illinois at home.
Northwestern
hit,
like, 19 threes against them last year. Every game is hard.
I shouldn't bring up too many bad memories. But if there's an easy road game in the Big Ten for Rutgers, that's probably the easiest outside of maybe Penn State, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, take what you get, I guess. But I mean, I just, you know, I look at those last couple of games and I just think, you know, this could be an area where they could pull off an upset or two and bring some momentum into the postseason and next year as well. But
yeah, I mean,
overall,
it's going to say a lot about Pikel's coaching if he can keep them in it after they get pounded for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Eddie's teams, his first 2 years gave up. I don't think last year they gave up, but the first 2 years they just kind of threw up their hands and said, oh, well. So.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about it on this podcast all the time, and I you know, certainly was talking about our last one was on the Big Ten schedule release, but, you know, it's really challenging, I can imagine, for coaches, you know, when their team gets beat up, they get beat down, and they got to turn around and, hey, these are winnable games, but they're tough games. And, you know, if Pikel can find a way to do it here with Rutgers and get some momentum, you know, finish strongly for once at the end of the year, it would certainly be noteworthy and it'd certainly be a sign of, you know, the program heading in the right direction. But with that, I think you went through the starting lineup. Let's jump into that a little bit though. You mentioned guard depth is going to be a concern. Which kind of position group do you consider the strongest on this team? What intrigues you the most? Where do you think could be a potential red flag?
I'm really intrigued by the wings. You have Laurent, you have Omaruyi, you have Issa Thiam, who's supposed to be a shooter, and he's 6'9", and he's going to play the wing. And then you have Matt Bullock. So they're four deep at wing, and you kind of don't know. I mean, we saw Laurent play, but he played power forward most of the year. So you kind of don't know what you're getting. So it's intriguing because it's an unknown. Strength and weakness, in my opinion, is guards. You have talented guards, but you have no depth. Somebody gets hurt, you're in trouble. So you're going to live and die by your guards. And that's how it is in college basketball anyway. So that's kind of what I think.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think this wing group, I don't know if they have quite the potential to be outstanding or something. But, you know, could they end up with a good 3-4 rotation, you know, a couple of solid guys who can manage well? Yeah, I think so. You know, I mentioned Geddes. I'm really interested to watch him. I think he's going to me, in my opinion, I think he's going to start. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, who knows?
About a month.
Yeah, certainly. And in the backcourt, I think Johnson and Sanders could be a pretty good 1-2 punch. I don't know if where it would fit in terms of Big Ten backcourts, but I certainly think it would be an intriguing one. That's for sure. But with that, let's get into the fun part here. Season predictions. Where do you see this team finishing? I'll ask, did they make the postseason? Where do they finish in the Big Ten? Is there progress this year?
there's definitely progress. There can't not be. I think they win 12 total games. I can't decide whether that means 3 or 4 Big Ten wins. I'm hoping for 4 with an upset. 4 Big Ten wins kind of puts you in the mix to not finish last. They're not going to the postseason unless there's, you know, unless the rest of the Big Ten gets sucked into a black hole. So there's progress. There's excitement. They're going to be fun to watch. I have total confidence in that. But keep your expectations low, because even if they win 12 games this year, that's five more than they won last year. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking to pass the eye test. Pikel will have this program going, hopefully, in year three, where they look like a real basketball team. And then we'll see year four or five if he can get them into the NCAAs. But this year, 12 wins. I've had some people tell me that might even be a bit high. So that's my goal. That's my prediction. 12 wins. Anything above that, the rack has been blessed.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say I'm somewhere in the similar range. And to start off with, you know, if they don't improve from 7 wins, I will be very, very shocked. First off, because, I mean, that's an incredibly low floor to improve from. But the
one
second
of those
part,
7 wins was against a Division II team, too. So
yes, Big Ten. Starting off, you know, if you look at that non-conference schedule, I mean, there are 8 wins in there if this team improves significantly at all. I mean, if they finish, what did I say, 291 in KenPom rating. If they're even close to 200, they should get around, you know, 7 to 8 wins in non-conference play, which basically means you do anything in the Big Ten, you improve. The Big Ten, it's going to be really interesting this year. You know, obviously we haven't broken down every team here on the podcast, but I think the Big Ten overall is going to be weaker in the sense I don't think you're going to have as many quote-unquote superpower teams, meaning I don't think you're going to have a Maryland team stacked with, you know, NBA talents, you know, Michigan State with all these seniors. I also think the bottom is kind of taking a step forward. I don't know if that's good or bad for Rutgers. I think the potential for an upset is higher, but I think, you know, the quote-unquote winnable games are going to be a lot tougher, because I just have a hard time seeing teams like Illinois and Minnesota being as bad as they were last year as well. So it's an interesting dynamic there. Personally, I think they're going to be somewhere around 10 to 11 wins. You know, barring something, you know, major happening between now and the season starting, I guess. So I'm excited. This is the first time I felt optimistic about Rutgers, and who knows, maybe next year, Rutgers will not be our first podcast here.
I am not faking my optimism this year like I have been the past 2 years. I'm not faking it right now. Last year was more praying to the basketball gods that they'd be better, which clearly they weren't. So here's hoping that things finally start to look good for Rutgers. Pat Hobbs hired, he's Rutgers AD. He hired Kevin Willard at Seton Hall, and that took 6 years. So we'll see. Hopefully Pikel can be a little bit faster in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It makes sense. But with that, Dave, do you have any final thoughts here on Rutgers? Any final thoughts on the Big Ten or anything else here as we head into the 2016-17 season?
I am going to call you out a little bit, Thomas. I read that article today that you were talking about on NJ.com where you were saying there was no context. And the article was only talking about those 6 New Jersey players. It wasn't talking about Michigan as a whole. All right? So there was no reason to get so upset.
I will respectfully disagree. I just for our listeners here, this is a little Rutgers-Michigan football debate-ish type discussion that myself, Dave, and I'm trying to remember who else. Jeff Goldman,
who's editor at the Star Ledger.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jeff Goldman. I don't want to get too off topic just on football stuff here. My thing here is, you know, apologize to people who aren't as in tune with this. Michigan, you know, they've been recruiting New Jersey really hard in football. They landed Rashawn Gary, who was the number one overall recruit there last year. Michael Dunfour, who was like a high 3-star. Amir Mitchell, who was a 4-star. A couple of them one transferred out. One didn't qualify academically. And another one who, Kareem Walker, a 4-star running back, is having academic issues. So he's currently not fully participating on the team. Rutgers writer mentioned that, you know, they were having a, I think it was a tough start, was how he worded it.
Those six guys, not Michigan.
Yeah.
Those six guys were having a tough start.
Yeah. And the issue that I take exception to is that Rashawn Gary started his first collegiate game. Michael Dunford played a significant role in his first collegiate game. And I just, if any two recruits of six have that much progress, I just find it difficult to say they're having a tough start when I don't think other teams are held to the same standard, I should say.
Okay.
The fire's
going
now.
Thin skin.
Hey, I get fired up. I get fired up about football here.
I don't care. I don't care about football. I mean, I get excited and like to watch, but it doesn't burn my. I don't get fired up. So.
Yeah. So, to our listeners who have made it through this football rant here, thank you for listening, Dave. Well, thank you for joining and appreciate the football discussion here as well.
Yeah,
as the
no problem. Can I get a plug in?
Yeah, feel free.
Yep, buy my books, the Jackson Dunn series, Dave White, and Empty Hell is in stores and on Amazon now. So if you like, the main character is a high school basketball coach and a PI. So if you like basketball, check out An Empty Hell, and check out onthebanks.com.
And you can get that book on Amazon, right?
Yep.
Okay, excellent. For our listeners who are interested. Anyway, Dave, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon. Hopefully we'll do another one like mid-season where I'm even more optimistic.
Definitely. Yeah, hopefully. All right, thanks again, Dave.
Have a good one, Tom.
As a reminder, everyone, that was Dave White. He writes for SB Nation's On the Banks, which covers Rutgers football, basketball, all sports in general. I think they had a lot of coverage on wrestling, if I remember right, last year. But a lot of coverage, you know, if you're a Rutgers fan, if you're a Big Ten fan interested in Rutgers, they do great work there. Definitely like all the guys over there. But with that, I apologize for those of you who are not football fans who had to endure me ranting about football. but yeah, anyway, my name is Thomas Bendit. You can follow me on Twitter at TBendit. I am the host and manager of BT Powerhouse's podcast. Definitely check us out here in the coming weeks. We're going to have previews on every single Big Ten team here in the podcast section. And the coverage is already dumping on the BT Powerhouse page. Check it out. Tons to read. And we will see you next time. Thanks.